All right, let's open our Bibles to the book of Luke once again. The book of Luke chapter 24. Let me start from, of course, we have read this a number of times, so let me just rush through it. I'll read from verse 44. It said, "Now he said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Then my emphasis, verse 48, and the last verse I'm going to read now, he said, you are witnesses of these things." Now, what are we studying? This is our faith basic series. We are still on it, and we have been learning some of the things that are fundamental to Christianity. And amongst the things we are discussing now, all right, of course, which we started about two sessions ago, is a matter of how are we witnessing for Christ Jesus? How do we witness for Christ? Now, I'm going to read a number of scriptures for the thoughts I want to bring to us today, but let me just review for a few minutes some things that we said before now. And very importantly, I explained something about the word witness. That a witness is not just a man who shows up to come and give witness. That is part of the reasons why he's a witness. But more importantly than the fact that he's around to talk about an issue, is that we are sure that he was present. Are you getting what I'm saying? When the thing took place. That is, a witness is first of all a witness before he can witness to somebody. Do you understand my point? That is, you must have experienced something. You must know what you are talking about rather than just repeating things that other people said. And when Jesus was going to give the commandments, the disciples, which we are seeing here, he told them clearly, you are witnesses of these things. And as I've been trying to bring out a thought to us in all these days that we've been speaking on this subject, that it's not just about being one who preaches. The first day we talked about witnesses and preachers. That it's not just about being one who preaches, but being one who really is a witness. That is, the emphasis of God in the life of Christians is that they themselves partake of the life that they are preaching. Are you getting my point? That John said in the book of the letters, the epistles of John, he explained that that which was from the beginning, which we heard, which our eyes saw, and which our hands handled, he said, concerning the word of life, that is what we are declaring to you. We are not just declaring to you that which is written, we are declaring to you that which our hands handle. That is, our hands have handled it, and I'm trying to bring that to us again as believers, that we constantly handle this matter. And that must be our emphasis. Let's not just get up and want to go out to go and preach as a matter of duty. That is, what should be paramount in our hearts is that, do I really reflect the message? Are you getting my point? And I told a story last time, which I read somewhere. I don't remember exactly where I read it, but that the famous St. Francis took his students from the monastery and said, let's go out and go and preach. And then by the time they got to the marketplace, they walked around. After walking around for a while, they returned back to their monastery. And they said that, we don't understand, Hoga, what happened just now? We thought we were going to stand there and start sharing the word with people. And he said to them, that was the lesson for that day. If our presence doesn't say anything, the many words that we are preaching won't say much. Are you getting my point? We can use many words, but if our very presence does not say anything, then the plenty words are meaningless. What am I saying? First of all, we must have a life that we want to share with somebody. Are you getting my point? I've heard people say things like this before. If that guy is the only reason why he should be a Christian, you can be sure I will never be one. What do they mean? They've looked at his whole life and there's nothing to aspire to. I've said to you before that if you go and read the scriptures, people used to come and say, what must we do to be saved? Are you getting my point? That's always the issue. That is, the gospel is presented to them to a level that they are the ones that know, they realize that they need the gospel. Do you follow what I'm saying? And let me just say this, by the way. Sometimes I look at the church in America, and then, you know, they always complain about what's going on in the world, how the world is trying to legalize homosexual marriages and all of that. And the fight is on and on all the time. And listen to this, all right? I am not saying that homosexual marriages should be legalized. Amen? Can I say that? Of course I cannot say that. And I'm not saying that the church should not say anything about it. Do you follow my point? What I am more concerned about is that our fights, that is the church now, that's what I mean by our, against the world seems to be on the matter of we are arguing on what is right and what is wrong. But once we leave that matter, there's no difference. The way they divorce their wives, we divorce our wives. Do you get my point? The way they fight their wives, we fight our wives. The way they run after money, we run after money. At the end of the day, we come to a particular point. We're not arguing whether Adam should marry Steve or Adam should only marry Eve. You understand what I'm saying? Do you get my point? Then when the arguments boil down to only that, we really don't have a strong argument. So, I feel like, I'm not saying that they shouldn't make any statement about these things that are going on. But I just feel like sometimes we are laying our emphasis wrongly. Do you understand my point? At the end of the day, I tell myself that I think this battle is wrongly drawn. And I think that part of the problem, all right, is that we are falling for the temptation of the devil. We don't realize it. Now, what I mean is this. I believe, this is what I just think, that I'm not dogmatic about it. This is my thought. I just feel that the devil say, okay, I will distract them. They will be fighting homosexuality in the courts and in the public place. They will not focus on their own personal lives. And listen, there's a way spiritual things work. If you don't focus on what is right, do you understand? Let me give an example of what I mean. Like Israel those days, assuming they are always losing battles. One battle after another, they'll be losing all their battles. Now, there are two ways to handle that. If you don't have any understanding, you start military schools. You import military generals, military strategists to come and help you plan your battle. But Israel, knowing what was right, what would they do? Those days under Moses and under Joshua, what they would do is that they would draw back and go and say, what happened that we started losing battles? Then they will search inwards. God will reveal sin in the camp to them. They will correct sin in the camp. Then the battle is automatically won. What am I saying? As Christians, if we fight our battles in the wrong places, we continue losing. So that's what I mean by these are the problems. So that I feel that sometimes we are focusing on the wrong battle. We go to court, and I keep on saying this, and I like to say it for the record. The reason, part of the problem in the United States of America, all right, is the theology of the church. Do you understand my point? The reason God, as today, God has to do a mighty miracle for Americans to be able to read the Arabs. If I'm an American missionary, I will not go on mission journey to Arab countries. It's not safe. It's not safe. Now, listen to what I'm saying. I know what I'm saying because your doctrine is wrong. I don't know what I get my point. The doctrine that's pushing you there is wrong. I think Africans should be the one to go and evangelize Arab countries. Americans should forget it. They fundamentally have a wrong doctrine. There are doctrine concerning Israel and Arabs and all of that that has colored, and the champions, the generals in American churches stand on the stage and declare it loudly to all the world, thereby making the Arabs the enemy of the God of Jesus Christ. Now, I have no problem with that. It's not as if I'm afraid for God. You can't do anything to him. The truth is that when you misrepresent him, that's where my problem is. Let me not sit on that. See, the Americans sit up every day, all right? And we're fighting battles that are not our battles. Divorce in our churches is normal now, like as it is in the world. There's no difference. Us, the love of money is stronger in our churches. In fact, it's worse because if the world is chasing money, it's chasing money. Everybody knows it's chasing money. They declare quarterly earnings all the time. Nobody is fighting. We know that it's all about money. Stock market is about money. Business is about money. There's a problem when we claim to be preaching the truth, but behind it's about money. Covetousness is a problem. We don't face it. We don't sit down there and be arguing about homosexuality. And then I see that. I say, look, listen, guys, you have missed the battle, though. You're fighting the wrong battle. What am I saying? If we really become witnesses, there's something about the power of righteousness, all right? It overtakes things without you trying. He said, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. The first time I heard the word whatever, I used to think, because as a man being raised in the word of faith movement, I used to wonder that, why is this whatever? It should be whoever. We are the ones born of God. We are the ones. It shouldn't be whatever. It should be what? Whoever. Then one day I realized something. It's not whoever. John knew what he was saying. Whatever. Amongst the whatevers are the whoevers. Amongst the other whatevers are the itevers. You know what I mean? Yes. There are all kinds of whatevers. Business ideas are whatevers. Marriages are whatevers. Are you getting my point? Laws, legislation, they are whatevers. School curricula, universities are whatever. Ministries are whatever. Music are whatever. All kinds of things are whatever. And the people doing these things are also whatever. So John knew what he was saying when he said whatever. He didn't say whoever. What am I saying? If we practice our righteousness, it overcomes the world. Listen, if you listen to what I'm saying, if you give birth from the bowels of the spirit to a business idea, there is no economic downturn that can kill it. It's called whatever. If you give birth to a ministry of the word, and it is operating by the processes, that is, the principles that have brought it to life, poverty, lack of money can't kill it. No government can kill it. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Prosperity can be dangerous. I think the problem in some churches, both in America and the rest of the world, is prosperity. When you have become so powerful, you can pay expensive lawyers, you can buy airtime, you are legislators, you are everything. Let's read my next scripture. I have about 5 scriptures to start today's message. It's a good time to read the second one. What am I trying to explain? We are witnesses. Before we can witness, we must be converted to real witnesses. Our lives must demonstrate what we want to witness about. Not just talk. I hope you get what I'm saying. Not just talk. What God wants is that before I talk, you should be asking me questions. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. The world should be the one to come and say, come, oh boy. What is it that's pushing you really? Do you understand my point? How come when we're all losing our heads, your own was together? I don't believe that is God wants it to, listen. John the Baptist, people will come to him to come and be baptized. And they say, you two, you have come. Jaguda, he has come. Thief, he has come. Who begged you to come? You know, if I say again, I thought you knew the law, that he was taunting them. You brood of vipers. Who begged you? You are running from judgment, eh? Oh, you don't have fear. That was John the Baptist's method. People will go, they'll come to Jesus Christ and say, what are you doing in this party? Say, what do you concern your papa? That's how he answered the Pharisees. That is, if you don't want to believe, it's your personal problem. I'm not coming here to come and beg you to believe. Occasionally, we feel sorry for them and they weep over the city. You know that you'll be knocking on people's house and say, you have come. Listen, I learned this long ago. I go where I'm celebrated. I can't knock on your door. I want to preach to you. I shut the door in my face. I will walk away. God help you for the judgment that's going to come. Can't shut the door on me and you think you'll go scot-free. I won't come back. Now, if you don't believe today, I won't leave here. Come chop and come walk. Now, two different things. The reason why we fight like that is because we are not trying to preach to anybody. We're trying to grow the size of our assembly. That's the reason. I said, you will drag the more. He must come to church. Pastor said, I must bring 4 people. Revelation chapter 3. I said, she opened to that. You know the scripture I'm going to. From verse 14, it says, unto the angel of the church in Laodicea write. I'm going to jump, please, because of my time is already running very fast. So verse 17 is where I'm going to. It said, to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, that's from verse 14. The Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this. Verse 17. Because you say, I am rich, and have become wealthy, that's what you are saying, and I have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Notice that. He said, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire. Gold in the Bible always stands for faith. Refined by fire tells you this is faith that has been tested. It has been persecuted and it did not bend. that you may become rich. True riches, as far as God is concerned, is a spiritual matter. And white garments, which stands for righteousness, that you may clothe yourself. The problem is that the people are rich physically, but they are filthy spiritually. Righteousness refers to how you walk. Balance is the key to life, Ed Cole says. There's a balance in the doctrine of righteousness, which was what James introduced, trying to balance what people misrepresented Paul concerning. Paul said righteousness is by faith. So the men, I was a student, University of Benin, the Word of Faith movement, when it was moving, it crept into our campus too. People did what they liked, and they said righteousness is of the heart. It is your spirit that is righteous. If you do anything wrong, it's your flesh that did it. Your spirit is righteous. Whatever is born of God is righteous. He has the nature of God. Holiness, you have the holiness, the righteous. There are some group of people who still preach it on TV. You see them till today. I don't want to mention names. Amen. The Bible says that we are already righteous, no matter what we do. I have seen people say that if you sleep with another man's wife, it's your body. Your spirit is righteous. It sounds funny. I've heard terrible things in unrighteousness. No, God does terrible things in righteousness. I'm telling you, but the balance is this. Truly, original righteousness is by faith. But that righteousness is meaningless if it does not produce works. So James said, show me your faith without the works, and I will by my works show you my faith. That faith cannot be known until the works are seen. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Are you getting the point I'm making here? So, the Lord Jesus was telling them here, you guys you claim you are Christians. You do anything you like, but it's producing money. And you come and give testimonies. But the righteousness of God is first in your heart and it comes by faith, but it always produces and is known by its works. That was why James had to emphasize that was Abraham not justified by works in that he obeyed? You are telling me he was justified by faith. James said, I know. But how did we know he was justified by faith? Because we saw the obedience outside. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. So Jesus was telling them here, you guys have all kinds of doctrines. He said, but your garments are filthy. That's what I'm saying. He said, you need to come to me. Let me help you wash your garments. Garments stand, read the whole of Revelations. Garments stand for righteousness. That's what it stands for. Righteousness. He said, let me give you white garments that you may clothe yourselves, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And I serve to anoint your eyes that you may see. What am I trying to explain? Please, let me just leave that one there. What he was saying simply to them is this. Outwardly, there are things. You know, I said that the major problem, I said, I'm digressing. Now let me quickly tell you why I read this. I've explained this. Let me just tell you why I read it again. Where came from that? I said, I look at the church, both in America and the rest of the world. That our major problem is prosperity. We have told ourselves we are rich. And we keep on deceiving ourselves that if we have money like the world, listen, we think the reason why unrighteousness is spread is because CNN has money. So we go around trying to raise money amongst ourselves. See, when we have money, we too will be able to match CNN. When CNN says their own, CNN says their own, we will now see our own. We will now go ahead and say, we will now build Christian television as if we want to oppose the world's television. Listen to me, that is not the method of God. I was watching one day at home, was on TV, Christian TV network. And some people were discussing the issue of how to use it. Maybe we should use public relations to advertise the gospel. And the arguments were going to and fro. You know what I mean by public relations? What I mean, like, outdoor advertising and, you know, things like that. Like, you put adverts. You know the way Coca-Cola has adverts? All the banks have adverts. So, shouldn't we advertise our Christ Jesus like that? And the debate was going on for a long time. And you know, there's one thing, when you are arguing and the fundamentals of your arguments are false, that is like the whole discussion was just pointless. It was whether it is righteousness or it is unrighteous. Do you get my point? Is it right for us to advertise Christianity? And so the issue was that it is right, it is not right. But I told myself that it is not whether it's right or it is wrong. It's whether it has any meaning. It is whether, is that what God wants us to do? Now, are you getting my point? We're not talking about whether it is iniquity or it is not iniquity. The issue is that what is the point? He said, one of the people, the proponents of the argument that it's good, said that if we have the right product, we should tell people about it. And I told myself, this man doesn't get the point. Go and read the scriptures very well. Paul made it clear. See, it's your life. Your life that produces the fragrance that spreads the gospel of Christ. It's not a billboard. Because as a matter of fact, all billboards are fake by nature. They are designed to create an impression. Did you get my point? Every detergent is better than all the other ones. Have you not noticed? Watch your television. This one washes 5 times faster than all other detergents. They said that this one washes 7 times better than the other one. This one washes 6 times deeper. This one washes 8 times wider. This one washes 9 times whiter. Than who? The other person who's saying is 7 times better than you. You get what I'm saying? Listen, it is not whether God is angry with advert or not. The only issue that if you like advertise from now to tomorrow, God said that does not preach the gospel. The thing that preaches the true gospel is that there are what? Witnesses. That's what I'm trying to explain. So the church, because of prosperity, we have laid our emphasis. I hear Christians say things that sometimes it irritates my soul. I'm sorry. They'll say, when we build our own building, they will know that God is with us. You are very stupid. Go to Saudi Arabia and see mosque. Watch Discovery Channel, watch National Geographic, you see them and you will see more mosques that have more money invested than St. Peter's Basilica. What are you talking about? I said, poverty is a terrible thing. I've been telling you. Poverty is a terrible thing. When a man has been poor, his father is poor. When I say poor, I don't mean that way. He doesn't have naira. I mean, as a community, they are poor people, Nigerians. That's black people generally. That's our problem. So when we buy a big car, you say it's a sign of God's faithfulness. I'm not saying God is not faithful, but that doesn't preach the gospel. Because like somebody said, even drug, what do you call them? Mafia. They spend more money on their cars than you are spending. So don't get away with that. A car can never, listen. You say, Pastor Brian, are you saying God doesn't do that? He does. I've told you before, true success is not what you got. The story is how you got it. People tell me that, no, Christians need to spend money and then when we build our big building, everybody will know that we too we day. You see, it's an inferiority complex. You see, we carry our native backslid, that's backward, spiritually undeveloped characteristics into Christianity. What I mean is this. You know, in the world, you see a lot of people fighting. I just want to buy this car so that they will know that me, I'm not a failure. Do you get my point? So when you enter into Christianity also, you say, yes, we have to do something great so that they will know that Christians are not failures. Listen to me. Paul says something, we may be poor. You look at us, but we are making many people rich. One day, one man was crippled from his mother's womb. Peter and John, they said it boldly, money we don't have, but show us a doctor that can do what we're about to do. The person with the heaviest amount of cash in the world, let him pay for the best doctors. Let him come and do what we're about to do. We don't compete on the worst stuff. You get what I'm saying? Listen, my friends. If you want to drive a good car, ask God for it and drive it. But please don't fool yourself that you want to show an unbeliever that your God is good also. That's an inferiority complex. It's worrying you. How can God of the universe need a piece of metal to declare his excellence? Did he craze? If God wants to show you he's good, he will show you a mountain. Point to Jupiter. Look at the moon. What is motor car? Every drug baron drives one. Some of the best cars in the world were bought by corrupt African leaders. You know that. Please, let's not insult this our God with those kind of stupid, you know what I mean, imaginations. You wear your shoe, amen, praise God. You say, the Lord is good. I know, it's your personal issue. Do you get my point? Do you understand? When you have trekked all your life, a shoe is a sign of God's goodness, yes. But when you get to men who they have never been without shoes in their lives, the sight of that shoe to them is a sign of your poverty. One. But when you, now listen to what I'm going to say. But when you come, listen to this. And as you are telling your story, they hear how God brought you out from where you never had shoes to where you now have a shoe. Do you get what I'm saying? Then that story can be a testimony of the goodness of God. Are you getting my point? We are not laying emphasis on the outward things. It's our walk with God that is the emphasis that God is laying. That's what I'm trying to explain. That's why with God, process is more important than the end result. All those testimonies that are edited here, here, and there, that is, you don't cut and join them, cut and join them. Praise the Lord, then I got the money, $1 million. Because they tell the whole story now, tell the whole story. Let us see whether it's really me or it is you. Why did I digress all of that? I'm going to emphasize something. Let's know where our real battles are. Our battle, listen, we are eternally more powerful. Let me put it like this. As a matter of fact, greater is he that is in us as a church, the church of Christ, than he that is in the world. Listen, it was like that before this age came to be. Are you getting my point? That is the way it is. The God that's in us is greater than the God of this world, the Satan that is in the world. That is a foregone conclusion. We're not trying to prove it to anybody. You follow what I'm saying? That's a foregone conclusion. What we are doing, listen, is that we are transforming our lives, listen to me, by the word of God to represent Christ effectively. Once we do that, the fact that the greater one is in us will come out naturally. Listen, this is what I want to say something. You see people shout that Islam is taking over Europe. And a Christian want to gather, you understand, and rise against the spread of Islam. I don't know where I get my point. Let me tell you, so anytime you see something like that, don't join. Let us gather. And then let us stop this Islamic spread. Don't join. It's ungodliness. I know I'm shocking you. It's not necessary. They say, hey, there's an old church in England. The Saudis are bidding for it. They will convert it to a mosque. We now start sending internet messages around. Let's all gather so we can buy it. Let them buy it. As God who I serve lives, I will never give a dime to such endeavors. God does not give a damn about any building. I've been telling you. In fact, I was in my Bible today, just I don't have that particular one here. God said, that which I built, I'm about to uproot. Said to Jeremiah. Said, that which I built, I'm about to uproot. Said, Pastor Frank, what are you saying? A building, that's not the defense of your faith. You contend for the faith, you don't contend for the rock. You know what I'm saying? Physical rock and building. No. But that's not what I'm even talking about. Anytime you see things like that, ask yourself, the church you want to fight over, who's going there? Nobody. You know why the Saudis want to buy it? Because you guys don't go there anymore. You know why the Saudis want to buy it? Your children have denied the God that was worshipped there. You know why the Saudis want to buy it? Because you guys don't care about the God that people gathered there to worship centuries ago, and you want the same God to come and defend the pieces of rock? He does not. And Banky doesn't join that crap. The Saudis want it, let them have it. When you guys are ready to go to church, God will raise 1 million such buildings. I won't put my money to be guarding relics. things that God will use to judge the generation. Say, your father went to this church. Where are you people going?